Welcome to the Zimcast, a program dedicated to bringing you what's new in agricultural marketing. The Zimcast is the official podcast of AgWired and hosted by Chuck and Cindy Zimmerman.
Hello and welcome to the Zimcast. I'm Chuck Zimmerman. Our program this week is coming from the Agricultural Media Summit. I'm actually on the trade show floor here, and we've got an interview coming up with our sponsor for coverage from the conference. Before I get started there, let me just explain a little bit, because the program is going to be slightly different than normal, in that I'm going to take this program and use the production and posting of it as an example of how to do a podcast in a session this morning I'm going to be doing here at the conference called Podcasting for Publishers. So you're seeing it a little later this week than I normally post it, but I did that on purpose because I thought doing this as an example might be the best way to show people how this mechanism works. So that's what we're doing, and I think what I'd like to do now is just turn right to the sponsor for our coverage of the AMS this year, which is Aggregate Climate Credits Corporation. And with me is David Krog. And Dave, we talked to you just when your announcement was made, about a week ago, I guess?
That's right, last Tuesday, Chuck.
Well, for people who don't know, let's first of all tell us what Aggregate Climate Credits Corporation is, what it does, and then we'll kind of get into a little bit of, how that type of service and stuff benefits farmers in particular.
Okay. Aggregate is a environmental credits aggregator, and our focus right now is on carbon credits aggregation. So we go out and we work with farmers, educate farmers on the opportunities to get paid for their carbon credits. So we go out, enter into contracts with farmers, and then we sell their carbon credits right now on the Chicago Climate Exchange.
Well, to me, having learned a little bit more about this, and I guess this is relatively a new type of program, and probably we need some awareness building on the part of farmers in particular, but it seems like a no-brainer almost to me. I'm going to let you describe what it takes to participate or sell those or be involved with your company in particular. But from what I understand, if you're going to be adopting a certain type of farming practice anyway, this kind of just is a no-brainer almost in a way, is something that you should consider doing because of that extra income it can generate, right?
Yeah, let me describe the three areas that we're working with, Chuck. One area is the soil offset credits. So the soil offset credits involves conservation tillage, using conservation tillage practices on the farm, as well as growing permanent grass on croppable ground. So that's a couple areas with the soils offsets. Another area would be rangeland as well. So if a farmer, for example, used conservation tillage, no-till or strip-till, they could potentially qualify for carbon credits. Now, it is a long-term commitment to that sort of a practice, so it's not insignificant to enter into a contract. But if they do use the conservation tillage, they can earn credits and then sell those credits. Another area that we're working in is the forestry offset credits. Same sort of thing. It's a longer term commitment from a landowner with trees, new tree plantings, that they can earn credits as well. And then another area that we're working in is methane offset credits. So if a livestock operation, a hog operation, dairy operation reduces the amount of methane that's emitted from their operations, they can again earn credits.
So really it's a comprehensive kind of program. I mean, you've got what you're doing would have an application to a majority of farmers out there.
Potentially. In the case of conservation tillage, I believe, there's less than 10% of the farmers that use no-till and strip-till, so there is a big potential for a lot more acres to go that direction and earn credits. And in the case of livestock, it's primarily some of the bigger livestock operations that would be interested in the methane emission reductions using digesters and so forth. So,
well, let's take a for instance, if you're a corn grower in Indiana and you've a couple thousand acres and they came to you, what kind of financial benefit might they look at if all things being where they are right now?
Yeah, in that example, the credits that you can earn varies by where you're at in the country. So in your example, Indiana, if a farmer used no-till, for example, he would earn approximately 6/10 of a credit, 6/10 of a ton of carbon credits per acre. And so what he would receive for that those credits varies day to day based on the price of those credits. The market opens at 8:30 every weekday and closes at 2 o'clock, so the price is fluctuating every day. Today, the carbon market is about $3.70 a credit or a ton. And so if you had a farmer with 2,000 acres, 6/10 of a credit, see if I can do my math in my head here.
It'd be a little over 1,000 somewhere in there.
Right, and so times, we'll just round it to $4 per credit. So, you know, $4,000 in that example, which isn't an insignificant amount of revenue coming in.
And like I said earlier, I know it's a commitment that you have to make and a long-term one at that, but if it is something especially that you're already doing, then why not consider this, I guess would be my question. And if you have thought about this, adopting some new conservation tillage practices, for example, in the case of cropland, it just seems like this would make a lot of sense. When you look at, how would you describe the awareness level on the part of farmers about this type of mechanism? Do you think there needs to be a lot, I mean, are they aware? Do we need a lot more? And how are you going to make sure that they know that they've got this tool available or this option?
Yeah, I'd say there's some awareness out there with farmers. I think in some areas of the country, there's probably more awareness than in other parts of the country. But our objective is to lead the way in educating farmers about this opportunity and provide them information so they can make a good decision on whether they want to participate or not.
Because you're, as I understand it, the company, although it's new and was just announced, this is not a new, brand new thing that you're doing as a part of Iowa Farm Bureau. So it's, you know, you have a little bit of history. You do have a base of business already.
Yeah, that's right, Chuck. We just kicked off the company last week, but the business itself has been going for, since 2003 when the Chicago Climate Exchange opened. And actually, the work we started on this started 10 years ago in 1997, looking at the opportunity. And so, yeah, we're a brand new company with about 10 years experience, but the initial focus was really started in Iowa and then has grown to about 16 states. But now our plan is to take it national, so take the information out to a lot more farmers and build the awareness for the program.
So this would have an application even to a vegetable grower in South Florida, for example?
Well, a lot of the protocols are still being worked on. So in the example on vegetables, I actually can't tell you if that's would qualify or not. I know that we are looking at fruit groves in Florida, for example, on the forestry side that may qualify. So it's an ongoing process in terms of defining the protocols and the crops and practices that would qualify.
Is this this type of program, is it unique to us here in the United States, or is this being done in other countries, do you know?
Well, what's going on, it's a cap-and-trade sort of a system with carbon dioxide. There is a cap and trade system in Europe, for example. The thing about Europe is the agricultural side of things, in terms of offsets, doesn't participate. And so it's a little bit different. And in the U.S. right now, it's a completely voluntary system. The Chicago Climate Exchange is a voluntary exchange. The members all voluntarily are reducing their carbon dioxide emissions. But it's a legally binding program here in the U.S. But the issue of carbon credits or carbon dioxide emissions is a global issue, and there's interest all over the globe on reducing carbon dioxide emissions. And the U.S. program is a little bit unique in that it's completely voluntary.
Is there anything else about the company and what you're doing that farmers should know if they're interested and, you know, want to know more about it or learn what potential they might have with their particular operation?
Yeah, I mean, we like to let farmers know that we are an experienced operation, even though we are a brand new company. And we want to lead the way in getting the information out to farmers to give them the information they need to make good decisions on whether they want to participate, educate the farmers. And so we have a website that they can go to, www.agregate.com, agregate.com. And we have a lot of information out there on the website now, and we'll have more as time goes on.
Well, I want to thank you very much. That's Dave Krog with Agregate Climate Credits Corporation and our sponsor for AgWire coverage of the Agricultural Media Summit. That's the Zimcast for this week. We'll be back in regular mode by next week, I promise you, which will include having the music I usually play at the end of the program, but we're not going to do that this week. We're trying to keep it simple today. So from the Agricultural Media Summit, I'm Chuck Zimmerman reporting. And thank you for listening.
You've been listening to the Zimcast, the official podcast of AgWired. Check us out at www.agwired.com to find out what's new in agricultural marketing.